Morning. Today's daf and getting Islam and Beza. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is long as Zichah Nishmas Liba Gavriela Bashmuel. We have a little bit more to go to finish up the third parak of the Masechta, of the parak, I should say. We have a lot more to go to finish the Masechta. And then we start today the fourth parak. We talk today about winds. The end of the third parak took us off on a tangent. It left the world of Gittin, and the reason why is because the Mishnayos dealt with the Chazakah. Then the third to last Mishnayos dealt with Chezkes Chaim, that we have a general presumption that a person is living, and even though that's we haven't seen each other for a while, but they're living, they're still living. And that Chazakah has a lot of application. We talked about in terms of the Shlichus of a Get. We don't know, the Shlich took a week, 2 weeks, let's even say a month before he arrived at his destination, but you can safely assume that the Mishaleach, the one who sent him, is still alive. That's one application of Cheskes Chaim. The Mishnah on Lamed Amud Aleph give a second application of Cheskes Chaim. You are fronting money to the Kohen, to the Levi, to the Ani, and eventually you're going to get paid back with the Trumos and Maestros and the Maestro Ani that's coming in. So, and even though you're not going to be compensate until later in time, but once again, you can assume that Kohen that you lent to, the Levi and the Ani, are still all alive. Those are another application of Cheskes Chaim. The Mishnah on Lamed Aleph, which we did yesterday, gave one more application, but not regarding people, but regarding food. Right? Peros. Peros also have a Cheskes Chaim. I mean, yeah, I understand it's a little different, talking about inanimate objects, and Peros do have a shelf life. So, but still, in other words, there's another Chazak, and that's Cheskes Chaim, I guess you would say, and that's regarding the fruit. You left fruit and you are mafresh trumos maestros and money on the fruit, assuming that the fruit were there. So good. So you could do that. You can assume that the fruit was there. The Mishnah, however, discussed what happens if you get there and the fruit's not there. Now what? So you have a conflict between the chazaka mikara versus the chazaka dahashta, the original chazaka versus the current chazaka. The original chazaka, the fruit was there. The current chazaka is not here. So when you have competing chazakas, which is going to win out? So our Mishnah taught us that with exception to the last 24 hours, you can assume the fruit was there. Meaning, our Mishnah taught us that basically the Chazaka Meikara is the winner, and the Chazaka Dehashta, just for the last 24 hours, you're going to assume that it's not there. That was the Psak of our Mishnah. I presented the Mishnah like Rav Yochanan. Not everyone agrees with that Pshat, but that's our Mishnah. However, the Mishnah in the Mishnah Mikvaos doesn't agree. The Mishnah Mikvaos says that when it's a conflict between the Chazaka Dikar and the Chazaka Dahashta, the previous Chazaka and the current Chazaka, so the Mishnah Mikvaos says that you have to follow the current Chazaka. Right? The Mishnah Mikvaos dealt with a scenario in which there was a Mikvah, and it was a Kasher Mikvah, and it had Memsad, 40 Sa in it, and so we know it was a Kasher Mikvah, but now, a month later, no one's checked the Mikvah since, a month later, we find now that it's Chaser, it doesn't have the requisite amount. So I have now competing chazakas. The chazaka mikara said it was a good mikvah. The current chazaka is saying it's not a good mikvah. So when did it lose its... So which chazaka is going to win? So the Mishnah Mikvah says the current chazaka is the dominant chazaka, which means that from the time that we found it to be chaser, we're going to go back to the last time that we knew it was kasher, and we're going to say that it's going to be a pasul mikvah, a insufficient mikvah, deficient mikvah, going all the way back to the last time we knew it was okay. That's the Mishnah Mikvahs. So what do you say regarding the two Mishnayos? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what you say about the two Mishnayos. They're not in agreement with one another. Our Mishnah, which by the way, our Mishnah is the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. In other words, you read our Mishnah clearly is a Das Yachid. So our Mishnah is the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. The Mishnah Mikvahs is a Stam Mishnah. So the Mishnah Mikvahs is not in agreement with our Mishnah. Okay, that's what we saw till yesterday. We're now towards the top of Lamed Aleph and Mid Beis. We're finishing up the third parak of the Masechta of the let's begin. Rebbe Yehuda Omer Begimel Parakim talked about in checking the wine. Three times a year, you got to check the wine. Wine goes sour. Wine turns into vinegar, and you want to be mafresh trumos and maestros on the wine, but you have to know that it's wine. So there are three times a year you have to check, and the Mishnah gave us those three times. Now, if you're holding by growing wine, growing grapes, and making wine, so you're following the season. Unlike me, I'm not following any of this in terms of when exactly are these specific and specific times to check. But anyway, so Rav Yehuda Amar Begamal Prakim. So Tana, Bikidim Shel Motzei Chag Shel Tkufa. So the Braisa tells us that you check Motzei Chag, but it has to be Motzei Chag of Tkufa. Okay, what does that mean? So we learned in the Mishnah that of the three times that you check, one of those times that you check is right after Sukkos, right? That's the Bikidim Shel Motzei Chag. That was the first time that you have to check your wine to make sure it didn't turn into vinegar. The Brice over here is giving one other variable, and that is, it has to be that it is Sukkos that comes out in the Tkufa in the season. Okay, we know that because we operate with a lunar calendar, so the Yamim Tovim are a moving target. Sometimes Pesach comes out early, sometimes comes out late. Like this year, for example, it's an Ibrigar, so we know it's coming out late. Pesach is coming out late. It's coming out at the end of the spring. Not the end, but anyway. But you get the basic idea. So it's a moving target. So the Gemara says over here that even though our Mishnah said that the time to check the wine is going to be after Sukkos, but it also has to be, don't just blindly say after Sukkos, because we're talking about seasonal. We're talking about wine. So over here, you also have to be aware of the tkufa as well. So the only time you have to check it is when it's Sukkos, and Sukkos is coming out in the tkufa in the fall. Otherwise, you don't need to check it. There are three times when you sell wheat. Okay, at this point in time, you're not supposed to understand what's going on now in the Braisa. Three times a year you're selling wheat. Why don't you sell wheat whenever you want? What's the point the Braisa is about to make that there are three times a year where you sell wheat? So a little bit patient. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly is the intent of the Braisa. Let's just read the Braisa. So there are three times a year where you sell wheat. Lifnei Hazera, Vishas Hazera, Over Pros HaPesach. So it is during the time where you're seeding. Before seeding, during seeding, and also 15 days before Pesach. These are the three times where you're going to sell wheat. Over Shalosh Prakim, Ochem Masei. Three times a year where you're going to be selling wine. And again, right now we don't understand what's going on right now. Stay tuned, we're going to discuss. So, 15 days before every one of the Yamim Tovim. 15 days before Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos. Vishem and Ma'atzeres ve'elach. And as far as oil is concerned, from the press and onward. That's the time that you sell oil. Okay, so we are now, we just learned the Braisa together, and the Braisa is telling us that there are three dates where you sell wheat, wine, and a date which is good for selling oil. Are we learning now sound business advice? Not exactly. The Gemara goes on to explain. We're talking about a partnership. Let's take a look at Rashi together. Very interesting. Rashi writes, Lishutfin. Here we go. When you have a partnership, so anyone has been in a business and with a partner, so you know you always have to consult. In other words, you're not the sole proprietor of the business. There's other people who own it together with you. So you got to consult. You got to ask. You know, should we do this? Should we do that? Right? You don't have sole ownership of the business, and you therefore cannot make executive decisions. So that's almost always true. However, Rashi says, what the Braisa is teaching us is that if there is a profit, and it's maximum profit, so then one partner can make a decision without the consent of the other partner. Rashi writes, "Sheina echa yochol limkor shelo midas chaver chutz leprakim halalo," with exception to these three times, "aval beprakim halalo ein sarach limalech." But during these three times, you don't have to ask. Meaning right now we're talking about maximum profit. We're going to get the best price imaginable. So at this point in time, there is simply no need to ask your partner, hey, is this a good idea? It is a good idea. Now, of course, you know, this is not a science, and it could very well be that the price will go up, and it could very well be that if he waited just a little bit, he could have made even more. That's true, but still. In other words, it was the right time to sell. This is the correct time to sell. One partner doesn't need to ask the other partner whether it's good or not good. The Gemara then says, now, what we learned in the Braisa, that there are three points in the year in which it's fortuitous to sell. Not really fortuitous, but profitable. It's profitable to sell. The Gemara says, are we talking about just simply points, or does it even go a little bit further? So Amarava, Kol Yuma Pirkahu. So he says that it's considered even afterwards, it's still considered time to sell. Meaning that it's not just simply a date on the calendar, but it goes for and extends for a little bit as well. Okay. Okay. That is the that's the Braisa, and now we have set pshat in the Braisa. It comes out, it's just very interesting, just comes out in general that when you have a business and you have a partnership, so it's very clear from the Gemara that there are times where one partner can act without the necessary consent of the other partner. Generally speaking, they need consent, but there are times when it's so obvious that they can act without asking. Just an interesting halacha that comes out from the Gemara. From here until the end of the perek, it is agadata. Agadata is not really the best way to say it. It's not really agadata. It's an explanation of the winds. Okay, I'll read the Gemara, I'll say pshat in the Gemara, but I'm not going to neither pretend nor actually know what how the winds operate. But Amar Rav Kol Yom Apir, I'm sorry. Vayikiz Ruach HaShemesh Vayaman Elokim Ruach Kadim Charishos. Okay, the end of Sefer Yonah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu made Ruach Kadim, an eastern wind, and it was Charishos. Now, what that word is difficult to translate. So my Charishos, and the Gemara recognized that, and the Gemara now is going to say a pshat. I'm Rav Yehuda b'shah Hashem neshevet osa t'lamim t'lamim b'yam. So it's such a strong wind that the wind blows and it creates furrows in the ocean. Okay, so in other words, it creates tides in the sea. It's such a strong wind. Amalei Rabbi Yehachin Hainu Dechsiva v'tach Hashemesh al rosh Yonah v'italeif. So he says, no, I don't think that's pshat in the pasuk at all, because the pasuk goes on to identify that Yonah was basically suffering from heat stroke. So I don't think that's pshat. Ela Amarabba b'shashem neshevet mishatekes kol haruchos mipaneha. The eastern wind was so strong that all the other winds were quiet. The word cheresh over here mean from the deaf mute. All the other winds were quiet as a result of the east wind, meaning the eastern wind is providing the heat. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Eov that supports this as well. Amar av techlifa bar av chista, amar av chista, emasa begadecha chamem. When are the clothing going to be hot? Bishar shehishkit eretz midarom. When the southern wind is shoket. The southern wind is quiet. So, in other words, the southern wind is assumed to be the colder wind. So, when there is no southern wind, so that's when there's going to be heat. So, because when that wind blows, all the other winds are quieted from it. Rav Hun and Rav Chista were sitting, and along comes Geneva, second time this Masechta, that we have seen Geneva. He is a Tam Chacham, but a difficult one. And he was not blessed with a great name. But he was a difficult Talmid Chacham. We discussed him earlier in the Masechta. So Rav Chista and Rav Huna see Geneva's passing by. So Vazuch Geneva Lai Amar Chalach Chavrei Neku Mekamei Debar Uyan Hu. So now these Amarim are going to debate: should we give him covered or should we not give him covered? Meaning, he was a complicated personality, and so they didn't know whether or not it was appropriate to give him covered or not. He was a Talmid Chacham, but he was also cantankerous. Okay, so it was difficult. And you could see it was difficult because they themselves struggled with whether or not they should give him covered. So one said, we should. He's a Bar Uryan. He's a Ben Torah. So Amalei Idach Mikame Paga Nekum. And the other one says, "What do you mean? He's cantankerous. He fights all the time." No, I don't think we should. Adahachi Asayu Lagabaihu. Now, while they're arguing, you know, sometimes arguments are settled just simply because we're arguing, and so we'll never get to a resolution just simply because we're arguing. It seems that that's what happened over here. They didn't arrive at any kind of conclusion. But either way, he gets there. So Amalei Bamai Sik. So he says, okay, what are you guys learning? Right? Because he was a Ben Torah, meaning clearly he was a Talmid Chacham. So what's on tap for today? So Amar Le Baruchos. So they said, okay, we're talking about the topic of Ruchos, right? Which is why the Gemara inserts story over here, because that's what we're talking about. So there are four winds that blow the every direction, north, east, south, west, and veruch svonis minashevus im kulan. Now, as far as the winds are concerned, so the northern wind blows together with the other three. The Rashi nochehi velochama velotzonenes umimatekes eshar haruchos. So apparently, again, I'm not going to pretend like I know, but the northern wind is the one that provides basically calm towards all the other winds. It's the one that basically mitigates all the other winds. So without the northern wind, so all the world can't sustain. Okay. It creates equilibrium, so to say. Now, as far as the most difficult of the winds, so that's the southern wind. Now, had it not been for Beinetz, Beinetz Rashi says is a malach. It looks like a Nates, right? Hawk, eagle, one of the birds that the Torah mentions is not kosher. Anyway, v'ilmale beinetz ma'amida ma'charev is kol alam kula mipaneha. Now, what this malach does is the malach stands. Malach, we'll see in just a moment, spreads its wings and basically tempers the northern wind. Shenemar ha'mevinascha ya'avar neitz yifros kenafav l'teiman. Okay, so the pasuk in Iyov describes this scene of the malach standing in front of the wind. Rav Rav Nachmar Yitzchak Havi Yosef Havi Chalavaz Rav Nachmar Yaakov Di Yosef. So another episode. Rav and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak were sitting, and along passes Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, and Di Yosef Begarke the Dahava Parsala Sarvala de Karsi, and he was dressed, and he was dressed really well. He was wearing he was being led like a king on some sort of chariot, a gold chariot, and he was wearing color clothing. Okay, he looked great. And the Hava Uparis Allah Savala Dekarsi, Rava Azala Gabe. So Rava said, okay, I gotta run, I gotta go over, I gotta greet him. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak Lo Azal Gabe. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, nah, no need. So Amar Delma Meish de Beresh Kalusan Inu. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak explained his behavior. Look, clearly he's someone who is important. Not in terms of Torah, but in terms of just, you know, you could see the car he's driving, right? He's an Adam Chashev. And so he said, look, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Rava, so he needs him. He needs a political clout. I, on the other hand, Ana lo tzarchin aluhu. So, but I don't need him. Meaning, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that I don't need any type of political clout. Rashi writes, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Chulin, that Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Nasi. So he already had political clout. So he was not in need of political clout. He didn't have to curry any type of favor with what seems to be a high-ranking official. However, then he realized who it was, meaning he thought it was just simply a politically important person. Okay, fine, that's nice. But then he realized it wasn't just a politically important person, it was Rav Nachman Yaakov. Hava azal agabe galal adare amar shajanashiv. And then when he got over there, he rolled up his sleeve and he says, shajanashiv. Shajanashiv, the shida is blowing in the wind. In other words, the wind was very strong. And he was making reference to, Tosa says, the eastern wind. So the eastern wind was blowing so strong. So the story, the Gemara brings in the story over here because of the, once again, the story ends with a comment about the wind. Amarav ha'ach, Amarav, Isha ma'pelas bo, u'shmol amar afilo margolos shabiyam arkeves bo, and Rav Yochanan amar afilo shichpat zer shabemei isha ma'sreches bo. And the Gemara says that this eastern wind is so strong that it's able to affect things that are normally hidden. So, three things mentioned by the Amoraim. A woman will miscarry as a result of this wind. Rav Yochanan says, Shmuel says that the pearl in the ocean is going to be adversely affected by the wind. And Rav Yochanan says, even Sheikh Vazera inside of a woman is going to be adversely affected inside, because as a result of the wind. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Vishlosha Mikraya Chadarshu, they're all learning it from the same Pasuk. Kihu bein achim yafri yavo kadim ruach Hashem. So there in the pasuk is a reference to the kadim, the eastern wind. Mimidbar olev yavosh mikoro v'chulei. So yavosh mikoro. So now the Gemara is going to darshan this pasuk. So the word mikoro, as we've seen time and again throughout Shas, is a reference to the fetus. Zumikoro shalisha. Well, actually, it's a reference to the woman and the But still, it's what we mentioned earlier. It's the fetus. It's the fetus growing inside. And the mayan is a reference to the shechva zera that's in a woman. So who yishse otsar kol klichemda zumargal shabiyam. And the end of the pasuk is a reference to the pearl. Amarava ede sura he the daiki cry. So ede sura Rashi says. So the members of the people of sura. Who are medayik b'psukim? They're very specific when reading psukim, and they say the daiki kra my kihu ben achim yafri. How do you understand the beginning of that pasuk from Hosea that we just quoted? So amarava afilu shifta b'kupina demara rafya. This wind is so strong. This eastern wind is so strong that even when you have a gardening tool, so you take the wood and you insert it into the metal gardening tool, but it loosens as a result of the wind. Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Sichta Bedafna Rafya, even if, when you have a peg in the wall and it was firmly placed on the wall, but as a result of the wind, so it's going to loosen. And Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Afilu Kanya Bekufta Rafya, even if you have a basket that's woven together, so it will loosen as a result of the wind. So the ill effects of the eastern wind, the Gemara cites numerous examples of the things that it will damage because it's such a strong wind. Hadronach chalaget, and that is the end of the third parak. Okay, we begin the fourth parak this morning. Today's daf is Lamed Beis. We begin the fourth parak this morning. It is a popular parak amongst the Bnei HaYeshiva. When the yeshiva is learning Gittin, as we know, is a very popular masechta amongst the in the yeshivas. So the fourth parak and the eighth parak, which we'll Mirz Hashem will get to. So they're the popular parakim. They're the ones that are learned. They speak to ideas of, you know, Shas topics like shlichus, which we're going to be speaking about right now. So becomes a popular topic. So hashalech get lishto. So the mission over here starts off with a classic scenario. Classic meaning since the beginning of the Masechta, we pretty much outlined the scenario in which a man is divorcing his wife, but he's not handing her the get directly, but he's sending it through a shliach. This is a shliach laholacha. This shliach is his shliach, not her shliach. And so now, shluchos adam kamoso, that means that this shliach represents the man. So that means that as long as the shliach is holding the get, it's still basically the husband's get. Hashliach yad liishto vihigia bashliach. And then shliach apparently is meandering, he's taking his time getting to the woman, and lo and behold, the husband bumps into the shliach, and he views it as a fortuitous event. Hey, look at that! You're right. Aren't you the guy I sent to? Oh, and you still have the get? Oh, okay, good. And then he says, "You know what? I changed my mind. I don't want to divorce her." So, second scenario. Now, in all these scenarios, there are going to be four scenarios in total. In every one of the scenarios, we're going to learn that he's going to be mevato. He's going to nullify. Now, I'm going to say probably a couple times incorrectly, he's going to be mevato the get. That's not really what he's being mevato. He's being mevato the shlichus. So you'll see, that becomes a critical point, and that's really one of the main themes of today's daf in terms of what exactly he's being mevato. But the right way to say it, probably the right way to say it, is that he's being mevato the shlichus. So he gets to the shliach. Oh, that's scenario number one. Oh, sheshalach acharav shliach, va'amar lo geshen asati lach batohu. Or a second scenario is that he directs another person to intercept. I want you to get to the shliach that I sent, and I want you to tell him that I'm being mevato. So, hareze bato. So in these scenarios, the shlichus is now mevutal, meaning that right now the shliach is no longer a commissioned messenger of the husband, and therefore he does not have the right to deliver the get. Kidam etzel ishto. Scenario.
In the first case, the get is still good, but the second one is not.
We'll discuss. That point's coming up. Kidam etzel ishto. Now, scenario number three of the Mishnah is that the husband gets to the woman before shliach does. And he says to her, I'm being mevato. I'm nullifying. Oh, sheshalach etzla shliach. Or he sends to her a shliach to intercept before the get gets to her. Ve'amar la geshe shalachti lach batohu. And he says that the get that I'm sending you is bato. So in scenario number three and scenario number four, so once again, he's being mevatel, and the Mishnah says it's an effective bittel. He in fact nullified, and therefore the get is no longer going to be effective. Im mishtagia get liada shiva yechol avatlo. And then the Mishnah says something which seems to be extraordinarily obvious, and that is that once it gets to her hand, so then it can no longer be mevatel. It is too late. It's an obvious point. In fact, the Gemara, if, right? You know the Gemara well enough. You know the Gemara is going to say that's pasha. That's obvious. And what do we gain from that line of the Mishnah? So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss. Now, Berishona Yose, now the Mishnah then says, now let's back up. This wasn't always how Bittul was done. Meaning that Bittul does not necessarily mean that you have to come face to face with either the Shliach or the woman. It's not that's not absolutely necessary. In fact, the Mishnah gives us a little history lesson, halachic history lesson. And that is Berishona Yose Bezim Malcolm Achir Mevatlo. Now, originally what was done and what could be done is that you didn't have to actually intercept the Shliach himself. As long as you assemble a Beis Din and you say to the Beis Din, I'm being Mevatlo the Shlichus. I'm serving notice that this Shliach no longer represents me. So that is in fact an effective bittul of the Shliach. And therefore, the Shliach no longer represents him. That could be done. The problem, of course, is that back then, texting wasn't an option. Right. So now that you are Mevatel the Shliach, how is the Shliach going to know? Exactly. He doesn't. And then the Shliach is going to deliver the get, and the woman now is going to think she's divorced, and she's going to remarry based on that. Meanwhile, she's not divorced. Meanwhile, her new marriage is not a new marriage. The children are going to be mamzerim, right? It could potentially be a disaster. So the chachamim were aware of this. Hidkin Rabbi Gamliel zaken shalehi osin came and made tikkun olam. So Rabbi Gamliel made a takana, and he says that we're going to stop with this, even though it's effective, and even though the Torah recognizes this, but nevertheless we're going to stop it, and this will be for the purposes of tikkun haolam. Rashi on the Mishnah, shashlich sheni yodeh b'davar molich olavihini sizbon, for exactly the reason that we laid out. Because back in the day when communication was not what it is today, so she's not going to know that the get was mevutal. The shlich is not going to know that the get was mevutal. And now she'll remarry, and it'll be a disaster. So they stop with this. And that's why, now you go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, and that's why he either has to physically intercept, either the shlich or the woman herself prior to the get arriving in her hand.
Why would it without the shliach's knowledge?
Because the shliach is only as good as he wants him to represent him. I no longer want him to represent me.
He doesn't know.
That's the problem. But his knowledge is not going to take away the reality that he no longer represents me. I don't want him. I don't want him representing me anymore. So he could do that, and he does it in front of a Beis Din.
The time frame between he calls the Beis Din and when he sends it. You know, did the shliach take one day and he'd get the base? So, you know,
like I understand. Right. We're assuming in the mission that we know exactly the time. We know the timeline.
Yeah.
Right. And if we don't know the timeline, so then you have all issues of sfeikos coming about. But assuming we know the timeline, so then as long as he was mevatel the shliach prior to shliach arriving there, so min haTorah it works. And Rabbi Gamliel made a takana and says it's not going to work. And tomorrow's daf is the exciting daf. Today's also. tomorrow's daf, it's a classic daf tomorrow. Tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to discuss if Min haTorah it works, so how can the Chachamim say it no longer works? Right. That's tomorrow's daf. Yes?
In the Barishayna stage, did they nevertheless send the power of Shliach to inform the parties, or they didn't do that?
I can only speculate. I honestly don't know. Meaning, how did it practically work? Is what you're asking me? Okay, I would only speculate. I don't know. I'm only giving this the same Mishnah that you have.
Wouldn't the woman have to wait?
Yes, that's true. But okay. But again, though, we're talking in time where communication was very sparse. Okay, anyway. All right, so that's the Mishnah. Gemara starts off with a discussion, and that is, there are four different scenarios given in the Mishnah. And again, the Mishnah Mishnah is just not giving obvious scenarios. The Mishnah, in every one of these cases, is telling us a Chiddush. And so what the Gemara is going to do is flesh out every case in the Mishnah, and what there lies in the Chiddush in every one of these cases. Number one, Higi'o Lokitani. You read the Mishnah carefully, it says Higi'a and not Higi'o. What's the difference? Rashi explains, first Rashi in the Gemara, that if the Mishnah would have said Higi'o, meaning that the husband was on a mission, Meaning, he appointed a shliach. He gave the shliach a get. He said, I want you to send this to his wife. And then when he walked out the door, the husband says, you know what? No, I don't want the get to work. So he goes out and he chases down the shliach. That would have been the case had the Mishnah said the word higiyo. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says higiya. Higiya is kind of like happenstance. Like, we bumped into each other after I gave him the get. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. And the Gemara explains. Lo ketani ala higiya. Ve'afilu mimela. And even though there was not a design plan to go ahead and be mevatel the shliach, v'lomar min letzura hudaka mechavin. And here's what we're not going to say. Look, this is strange. If he wanted to be mevatel the get, I can understand he's running after the shliach. But he bumps into him, and then he says, you know what, now I'm going to be mevatel the get. Maybe he's just doing this to torment her. And that could have been a consideration. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. It's not a consideration. Meaning he really wants to be mevatel. Oh, sheshalach acharav shliach lamali. The Gemara says, now what about case number two? So ma'od detem alo alim ashlichusa debasra mishlichusa dekama delivat lei. I might have thought, tahav amina. I might have thought that, look, his first shliach, that's his first shliach. Powerful, right? Representative. Second shliach, also good, but not as strong as the first shliach. Again, it's a havamina. Not as strong as the first shliach. Second shliach can't be mevatel the first shliach. He, of course, has... He's a baldavar. He, of course, can have every right to be mevatel the shliach. But not a second shliach. Second shliach may, again, havamina, may be inferior to the first shliach. Kamash malan. So that's the chiddush in the second case in the Mishnah, that the second shliach has as much authority as the first shliach, and the second shliach can be mevat to the first shliach. Third case of the Mishnah. Third case of the Mishnah is where he intercepts, not the shliach, but the wife. He gets to the wife before the shliach does. So ma'od detei makilo armin letzu'ura kamechavin hanimi lil shliach. Ava ledida vandai letzu'ura kamechavin. So the Gemara says, again, I might have thought that there may be, in his mind, not the best of intention, not the best of motivation. Maybe he's going to her, not really to be mevat to the get, but just simply to upset her. Maybe that's a consideration, a concern. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. It's not a concern. In other words, his bittel is a real, legitimate bittel. Oh, sheshalach etzla shliach lamali. Fourth case in the Mishnah. What is that coming to teach us? Ma'od detema ihu delo tarach adata letzura. Avashliach delo ichbat lei. Ki tarach vada letzura kamechavein. Here, if he's not going himself, if he's going himself, bichvodo v'atzmo, and he's telling his wife, no, I want to try again. I want a second chance. Let's try this again. So then you can understand that he's not trying to torment her, he's trying to actually make this marriage work. Masha ain't Cain. If all he's doing is just sending a shliach to her and to get to her before his shliach does, so maybe he's doing this, look, it's now he's not expending energy, he's just sending another guy. So maybe you could have argued he's doing this to torment her. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah says, the Gemara explains, that's the Chiddush in the Mishnah. Then we quote the next line of the Mishnah. Next line of the Mishnah is teaching us that once the get gets to his hand, gets to her hand, so then he can no longer be mevatel, to which the Gemara's announcement is pshita. That's obvious. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what the chiddush of the Mishnah is. Let's say he does things which indicate that he wants to be mevatel, but he didn't do the actual bittul yet, but started running in her direction with the intent of being mevatel, but he didn't say it, and he didn't get to her yet, and he didn't tell her. So, again, the hava would have been, the Gemara says, ma'u detema, iglayim ilsalam afred de bitule batle. So I might have thought that now at least there's gilui das, meaning he didn't get to her before the shliach did. But at least he did something that gives us the impression that he wanted to before the shliach arrived. And I might have thought, therefore, that we can take his das together with his bittul, even though the bittul was too late. We could put the two together, and we could say that I know his bittul occurred after she received the get, but he clearly demonstrated that he wanted to do it before she received the get. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that no, the only significant point is the actual bittul itself. If he was actually mevatel, so then the get's mevutal. Otherwise, doesn't matter what smoke signals he sends. doesn't matter. The get is not mevutal if he arrives afterwards.
Isn't that also obvious? I mean, he didn't make a declaration to anyone, so
right. Again, Zahavim, you're right. Is it so obvious? Okay, again, Zahavim, you know, I might have thought that Gilui Milsa would be significant. Tana Rabbana Batahu, E.F. Shibo. Now, before we start with this Brisa, sorry, let me back up for a second. The basic idea is as follows. Like we said in the Mishnah, what is he really being Mevatel? So again, at the end of today's daf, you'll see that you can make an argument that he's being Mevatel the get. Okay, and you can make that argument. And we're going to do so at the end of today's daf. But what is he really being mevatel? The shlichus. Okay. Now, what does he have to say in order to be mevatel the shlichus? So he really cannot speak ill about the get itself. Because really, there's nothing wrong with the get. In fact, more than that, it was a perfectly legitimate get. It was commissioned, written by a sofer in front of witnesses. Witnesses signed on it. The get was written correctly. And now, the get is, if you will, locked and loaded, and ready to be sent to his wife. So for him to say something like, you know, that get was no good, it's not true. It's patently incorrect. The get was a good get. So if he makes any statement about the get, in terms of Avar, in terms of the past, it's not an effective bittul, because he's simply wrong. What he's saying, what he needs to say is, this get from this point going forward is no good. And again, because it's not really a nullification of the get, it's really a nullification of the shlichus. So basically now, the key into this brisa, into the next Gemara, is that if he says anything about the past, what he's saying is ineffective. It's not an effective bittul. If he says something about the future, that is an effective bittul. And so basically what we're doing now is sharpening our language skills in terms of learning what speaks about the past and what speaks about the future. So the Gemara goes on. Tana Rabbana Batahu Yafshibo Dvarv Kayamin. If he says it is or it will be batal, or I don't want it, so then Dvarv Kayamin, that's effective. Pasulhu Aino get lo amar klum. But if he says, oh, that get was puzzle. It wasn't good. Or Aino get, and never was a get. So lo amar klum, that's not effective because it's not true. Lememer de batalishon de livatal mashma vahamarava bar ivu amarav sheshes vahamrila amarava bar avua. The Gemara says now, in terms of the saying the words batalhu, we just learned that batalhu is going on the future, which in the world of get would be effective. The Gemara says, yeah, but compare that to the following. Mikaba matana sheamar laacher shabata matan liyado. Let's say a person received a gift. Okay. And after receiving the gift, he then makes the following declaration. Matanazu mivutelis. Tibatel. E.F. Shiba lo amar klum. If he makes a language trying to negate the gift, and the language that he says is, I don't want it anymore, or for the future, so then that's ineffective. Meaning, consider, in the case of the gift, he's received the gift, it went into his hand, and now he's verbally trying to reject it. Well, what you need to do is you need to reject him having already received the gift. So in other words, here in the gift receiving, after having had the gift get into his hands, he needs to make a statement on the past, not on the future. So if he says something about the future, so that's ineffective. Batela he, eino matana, dvarv kayamin. If he says something like batela he, or eino matana, so then kayamin. That's effective. Because now he's talking about the past. He's basically saying, thank you, but no thank you. I don't want it. I never wanted it. Okay. So, what comes out now is we have what's called a stira. In the case of the get, we learned that batel hu is going on in the future. In the case of the matana, we said betela hi. Now matana is feminine. So, we're going to say betela. So, in the case of matana, it's betela hi, and we learned that that's on the past. So, batel hu betela hi. Is that on the future? Is that on the past? And so we're confused. Ama batomi karamashma amar Abaye. So Abaye's answer is lamed beis. Shtei lishonos. Read that again. Batol shtei lishonos mashma. So the word batol actually goes in both directions. Meaning batol is an ambiguous term. Encrypted in batol, it could be going about the future, it could be going in the past. So, and basically then the context will flesh out which way we're going. So mashma de bato, mashma de li batel. The words batal hu could mean I nullified it or I'm going to nullify it. Gabe get lishna de mehani bekamar, gabe matan lishna de mehani bekamar. So, and then it's just a question of the context. Meaning in the get, we're going to assume that he's going to use the effective language and the effective intent. So when he says by get batal hu, he means for the future, which is effective. By the matana, after having received the matana, he says betela hi, he meant I didn't want it on the past. Amrabai naktina shlech matana hari kishlech aget. Abai tells us another halacha, and that is, let's say I give a gift to somebody, but I don't give it to him directly. I give it through a shliach, and I use the word, and I use the words holech. I want you to deliver this to so and so. Now, as a general rule, we know zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav, that if I want somebody to have somebody, and I say, and he's not here right now, I can give it to somebody else and say, I want you to be zocha on his behalf. And the halacha is, as long as it's a zchus, and as long as there's no chova, so the halacha is that the designated recipient gets it right away, even though it didn't go into his hands. That's generally the halacha. However, over here, he didn't say the word zachi, he said holech. I want you to deliver it. What Abai says is that we have a long-standing tradition that if you say the word holech by matana, it's not zachi, and basically he's a shliach la holacha. And just like by get, it's a strange comparison, but the halacha comes out to be the same. Just like by get, a husband has the right to be mevatel the get prior to the wife receiving it, so too by matana, the giver has the right to retract from the gift prior to the recipient having actually received it. Now, if kamina laholech lav kizchi dami, and the Gemara spells it out, that's exactly what we're saying. That because he said the words holech as opposed to zachi, so what he means by that is, you're simply going to deliver, and that's all you're going to do. You're just going to deliver. Ravina ashkechel Rav Nachman Yitzchak tell v'kai be'ibad d'dasha. Rav Nachman Yitzchak was leaning against the door of v'kami ba'ilei batal mahu. What if you say the word batal by itself? You don't say the words batal hu. Batal hu, so as we said, is ambiguous and can either be talking about the past or talking about the future, and the context will be the determinant in terms of which way you're going. However, what if you say simply the words batal? The word batal. So take what the Gemara says on that, unclear. I'm Rav Sheish Vamila ben Masisa Tana get ze lo yo lo yate lo ya aziv lo yishaleach velo yigareish yehei cheres yehei kicheres. The Bryce over here gives a longer list of terms that all relate to the future. Lo yo'el is not effective. Lo yati, it will not permit you. Lo ya'aziv, it will not allow you to leave me. Lo yishalech, will not send you away. Lo yigaresh, it will not divorce you. Yehei cheres, it will be from this point going forward like a pottery shard. Yehei kicheres, dvarv kayamim, all these expressions are on the future, therefore an effective bittul. Eina, Eino moil, eino matir, eino ma'aziv, eino mishaleach, eino megaresh, cheres hu, kicheres hu, lo amr klom. Every one of those terms is on the past. On the get, it's not true. All these statements are not true. It was a get. It still is a get. And that's not a proper bittul. Ibailahu. Harehu cheres mahu. And then the Gemara says, what if he says harehu cheres? Now, if you go back a couple lines, you'll see. What is the correct way to say it? So the correct way to say it is Yehei Cheres. That's on the future. What is the incorrect way to say it? So go back a line. So Cheres Hu. That's on the past. You say something which is a little confounding. Harei Hu Cheres. Okay, right. So, right, somewhere in between past and future. So, Ma'u Amalei Ravina Ravacha Brei Deravah Vamila Ravacha Brei Deravah LaRavashi Maishna Meharehu Hektesh Harehu Hefker. So it's no different than saying Harehu Hektesh Harehu Hefker. So basically, he says, well, if these statements are good, so then the Harehu Cheres is also good as well. Rashi points out this is based on a Gemara Nedarim. So in the Gemara Nedarim says that if you use languages like Harehu Hektesh Harehu Hefker, so now you're changing the status because it's going from this point going forward. So just like there it's good, here it's good as well. Okay, and we get now to final topic of today, and that is the following. Husband was mevatel the get, and he did so successfully. Okay, now, what, as we pointed out, what he really is being mevatel is the shlichus, not so much the get. Okay. Obviously, this man is fickle. That's the most obvious thing I've said today. So the man here is fickle. He, on one hand, wrote a get to divorce his wife. He then was mevatel the get. Okay. Can he now then take same get and reuse it in order to divorce her because he changed his mind yet again? Well, okay, so good. So Chozer Megarish Bo Einu, Chozer Megarish Bo Rav Nachman Amar Chozer Megarish Bo. So Rav Nachman says absolutely can recycle this get. Rav Sheshes Amar Einu Chozer Megarish Bo, and Rav Sheshes says no. The Ilchus of Kavasi to Rav Nachman, and the Gemara says the halach is in fact like Rav Nachman that he can recycle the get. Now, Rav Nachman, I would say in Svara. Okay, this is me talking now, so take it with a grain of salt. So in Rav Nachman in Svara is easier to understand. Because what Rav Nachman is saying is basically, he's not saying anything about the get itself. What he's saying is, I'm being mevatel shlichus. The get itself is still locked and loaded. In other words, the get hasn't changed. The only thing I'm saying now is, he no longer is my shlich, he's no longer representing me. He's mevatel the shlichus. So if he changes his mind once again, and he wants to use the get once again, so Rav Nachman will tell you he can. Rav Nachman and Svar is a little bit easier to understand. Rav Sheshes, the halacha doesn't fall like Rav Sheshes, but Rav Sheshes in Svara is harder to understand. Because what are you doing? You're being mevatel a get. How could you be mevatel a get? The get is a legal document. You can't change, presumably, you can't change the status of a get. The get was written by a sofer, signed by Adim. It's an effective document. So how can you?
I don't want to use it. Basically.
I understand. Right.
Not the get. It's not.
But how? Get. Right. But the idea that you're changing the actual status of the get.
Change the get.
Exactly. Right. So Rav Sheshes, I think, in Svara is a little bit harder to understand.
Mm-hmm. But it's missing completion. The get is not get until it's delivered.
Until it's delivered, but the get is not actualized until it's delivered. But certainly in potency, it's a get. So I've heard. That's one shot I've heard. So I told you it's a popular. It's a popular parak. I'm going back to now old memories. So one shot I've heard is that what he's able to do according to Rav Sheshes. Again, we're just saying a svar in Rav Sheshes. Yeah, the halach is like Rav Nachman, but within Rav Sheshes, maybe what he's doing is he's removing lishma, right? Lishma, right? The magic recipe that we talked about since the beginning of the Masechta, that when you write again, it has to be lishma. Lashem Isha, and without the Lashma, it is not going to be a good document. So maybe according to Rav Sheshes, what he's doing, it's a chiddush. But I'm offering a svar just to understand Rav Sheshes. Maybe according to Rav Sheshes, what he's doing is he's removing the Lashma component of the get. Maybe again, just as a suggestion to understand, huh?
How could you do that?
Again, I like I said, Rav Nachman's easier to understand. I'm agreeing. So the Gemara says, now Iniva Kamalan Hilchus Kavasi de Rav Yochanan, Damar Choseres. So the Gemara says that the halacha is like Rav Yochanan in a different issue, and that is the Gemara in Kedushin. A man says to a woman, I want you to be Mekadosh with this money after 30 days, and then within the 30 days, she refuses. So her refusal is in fact a legitimate refusal. So the Gemara says, if Rav Yochanan over there says that you could be mevatel, and that bittel in fact is going to negate the kedushin, what's the difference between the Gemara and kedushin and our Gemara over here in Gittin? Hachi Hashta, the Gemara says, what do you mean? What's the difference? The difference is obvious. Hasam deeper v'deeper who over there in kedushin, you're talking about kedushin. Now, granted that it's done with money, but the money hasn't been affected yet, and so right now it's just an instruction. And she's negating the instruction. So it's dibur keneged dibur. Over here, I see dibur mevatel dibur. V'hacha nehi debatle lishlichusa deshliach gita gufe mikabatel. Over here, however, we have the get. We have the document. Document was written. Document was signed. It's an effective document. So you can't, you can be mevatel a dibur. You can't be mevatel a get. So that's the fundamental difference between the case in Kedushin and our case over here. Adkan, we'll stop over here. So again today, finished the third parak of the Masechta. We talked a little bit about winds, try to wrap our head around the concept. We started the fourth parak today. Fourth parak dealt with the topic of Bittul HaShliach. Originally, you didn't even have to be present for the Bittul HaShliach. You just needed to assemble a Beis Din. But Rabbi Gamliel did away with that because of Tikkun Olam. Tomorrow we're going to talk. Tomorrow's a popular daf, an exciting daf. Tomorrow we're going to talk about how the mechanics. How can Rabbi Gamliel do that? How can he remove a din d'oraisa? That's tomorrow's daf. We talked about various ways, four different ways in terms of bittul haget. The Gemara speaks out the chidushim in all four of the cases of the Mishnah. The Gemara then sharpened us in terms of what's la'avar, what's la'haba. Proper bittul haget is only la'haba, not la'avar. And then we spoke out a halacha of recycling the get after bittul. Rav Nachman says you can, that's the halacha. Rav Sheshes disagrees, we try to give a svar in Rav Sheshes. And we spoke out a difference between our Gemara here in Gittin and the Gemara in Kiddushin in terms of there you can be mevatel, but you're being mevatel dibor. Over here you cannot be mevatel because it's a get.